guys. Welcome back to another week of Autastic. I am one of your hosts, Kirk Smith. This is my buddy,
Graham K. Everybody, how's it going?
Oh, man, it's good. I miss you out here. You've been on the road for a while now. You've been out in the great north for...
I'm not on the road, per se. I'm just waiting for my green card to come through. So, Just hanging out in my hometown, hanging out with my brother a bunch, which is a bonus, you know?
Yeah, it's too bad you weren't here this week at basketball. 65 agents came out and watched us play and then offered all of us representation and movie parts.
And so, what's amazing is not one of them offered it to you. So, I heard about that.
Well, they weren't looking for a coach, so it's funny. Every time you leave town, though, you feel like you're missing out, don't you? It's like, I'm sure everything's happening this week.
No, I'm happy. It's good to hang out with my brother. You know, you got to make lemonade.
Nice. Yeah.
Get pretty sick of lemonade, though. I'll tell you that much.
You know, it'd be nice if it was lemonade, some sort of sweetener.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't tell you that. If you have life, make lemonade. You get no sugar. Just drink lemons and water. Let's do a little weekend review. Any Pete news? Peter news?
You know, no news is good news. I have some mild news. It's just he has a fish tank and
the pool of death. We know. Yeah.
The pool of death is real. Last time we talked, he had four new clown fish, like the same kind of fish, like Finding Nemo fish.
Yep.
I think that was like a month ago. They're all dead, all four of them.
Oh, no.
And it's swampy again, and my dad took a water sample into the local aquarium people, and they said it's fine, and we just don't know why everything dies. And it's just one of these things. You're like, well, they're just going to die, and that's that. So we bought him four new fish, and one of them's already disappeared.
It's disappeared? You have cannibal fish, huh? They're eating each other?
Yeah, he's gone. Peter thinks that he's still alive somewhere, but we'll see.
Right.
But he just can't. It's really complicated, like having these big, like a fish tank with a filter and all that, you know, and you gotta clean it. And it's a little above his means and also my father's. So
this must be a saltwater tank.
No, it's not. Maybe that's the problem.
isn't the clownfish, isn't that saltwater fish?
Well, it was a clown loach fish. It looked like one. It was a different one. I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, they talk to the aquarium people. They know what they're doing.
Okay.
They're like,
we got the
aquarium fish nerds.
We got the water out of the top of the toilet, and we added some of our own salt from table salt.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
Stupid fish. Tough it out. Oh man, that's too bad. Yeah. That's too bad. Well, it's good. So, I'm glad he got some new fish.
And he's like, I keep trying to hang out with him, and he's like, I'm too busy. I'm like, what are you doing? Well, Graham, I got to do laundry. You know, and I'm like, I got to explain to him, like, you can, just because you have laundry doesn't mean you can't hang out with your brother who's only in town once in a while. He's like, okay, fine.
Making special exception for you.
Yeah. He stopped working out because laundry. He's like just not working out anymore, not exercising. He was getting overweight, and then like the doctor told him, just a recap if you don't remember, you know, told him like, okay, you gotta exercise. And he was really good, and like most of, like all of us, you know, you drop off. And his excuse is that he's got laundry. He's like, I can't do it. I got laundry. So I'm like, Peter, you can do it while it dries. When you put it in the dryer, you can go. It's right across the hallway in your building. You can exercise there. It's got a little workout room.
I'm doing a little laundry today. I don't want to brag. But
please don't.
we're renaming this podcast to The Adventures in Laundry, I think. The new and improved name. My week in review is, so JJ, as longtime listeners know, has a new living arrangement, his own little place. I gotta post those stupid pictures. Dang it, I'm doing that today. Mm-hmm. Post pictures of JJ. Okay. I'm writing myself a note here on my hand. No, I'm joking.
By the way, this is we didn't do this. This is a comedian's guide to comedy.
Oh,
we're
man.
Both comedians. Yeah, that's okay. We're out of practice.
It's been a
we're
while.
Both comedians. And we...
I think you said comedian's guide to comedy, by the way, which is not what this is.
Oh, I did, didn't I? Comedian's guide to autism. We're out of practice. It's been like a couple weeks that we've recorded. Anyway, comedian's guide to autism. We don't have autism. My brother does. Kirk's son does. There you go. Now you're caught up.
We are not experts on autism. It's just our experience with family with autism.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
So my son is 18, severely autistic on the severe end, and he has a new living arrangement. He's got his own place, and it's two other people with autism and then four staff members, and he really likes it.
Good staff to
It's crazy.
Person ratio.
Crazy ratio. So the latest thing is they've got a new staff member. She's from Chile, but she's adopted. So she's Swedish. She doesn't speak Spanish, but she's from Chile. Mm-hmm. She's like this little petite Hispanic looking girl with long black hair. And JJ is in love.
That's cute.
So whenever she says to do anything, he jumps right on it.
Yeah.
And he's all, and he's all giggly and awkward around her, and he's and she's so petite she couldn't make him do anything, but what the heart wants. So he
Women have always been smaller than men and can make men do whatever they want,
so nothing's changed.
Isn't that funny how like hormones are hormones, you know? It doesn't matter what your mental acuity is, it's like you can't help being a boy.
Yeah,
you know, and that's kind of great. It's great that he's feeling that. It's fun. It's fun to have a crush.
And he keeps trying to make excuses to bump into her or touch her arm. So,
touching her arm is okay.
Arm's okay, yeah. So yeah, he's doing good. I think he's in love. So it's I'm excited for him. I don't think they're gonna get married, but I'm excited for him to have something new in his life, something interesting, exciting. So,
yeah. Is it his first crush?
I think it's one of his first majors. He's always been, in fact, his teacher whenever we look for aides, is always like, you have to find a woman aide, or you have to find a man aide, because he doesn't listen to women. And the only exception is if he really likes the girl, then he'll listen. But otherwise, he's
a misogynist.
He's a little bit of an old school misogynist.
Yeah,
yes. Pretty girls, he's all on board. That's it.
Oh boy.
That's my week in review, dude. That's what's going on in Sundsvall. We have a really interesting in the news. Should we get to the news?
Let's do it.
I have a feeling this is going to be a lot to talk about. So this is in the National Post, Canadian publication.
Graham
found.
I think it was also in the Washington Post as well, or a version of it was. But anyway.
Okay, I missed that one. An electric shop... Shop.
I said the same thing when I told you about it.
Electric shock therapy stops self-harm among autistics, but at what cost? This is a pretty long article. Very interesting. Talks about... Go ahead, Graham.
No, I was just going to summarize it. But
Go ahead. You summarize it first.
In Massachusetts, there's a school for people with I like how I tried to take it over and I can't even talk.
There's a place in Massachusetts, like you talked about, in Canton, and it's used on one in five of its residents in the group homes scattered around there, and basically it's electric shock therapy used to control a violently aggressive and self-injurious behavior. So on the face of it, barbaric, in my opinion. So I'm just going to – that's just my opinion. However, then I read a little further, and it talks about emphasis on this family. Michael Shields, 51, sits quietly eating lunch with his parents. James, 83, and Phyllis, 85, who come to the monthly visit. So these are not, you know, spring chickens, none of them. So I'm imagining they're 80s. They're not the most spry adults. And it talks about the history of this young man, not young man anymore, he's 50 now, but of him over the years injuring his parents. His mom at one point had all her hair ripped out by him. And before he'd arrived there, they'd been through at least 7 programs in a way they'd all failed, says James. James is the dad. And he used to be shackled and wear a hockey mask 24 hours a day. Now, so when I talk about my son being severely autistic, he's severe in that not really verbal, says like 10 things, potty trained, but he's 10, still kind of has struggles with that a little bit once in a while. If something happens, he might have an accident, but not really intentionally violent. He's over 6 foot and probably 230, and he gets excited. He'll jump. And so if he jumps at you and you're a little person and he bumps into you, he's going to knock you into a wall. But they're describing in this case, Michael would tear his mom's hair out and bite. And my son really doesn't do that. So this is like even another level. Like we've said many times, if you met one person with autism, you met one person with autism. So it was, yeah. I don't know. It's very eye-opening because, again, at first I thought barbaric, but then, you know, they talk about it, and this is another person talking about it. When you have a son and you say, why don't you get your sweater, and he attacks you and bites you, and this is a 54-year-old woman, you're constantly in fear. I mean, you feel like the parents have a right, too, to not have all their hair pulled out by the roots, which is what was happening.
Sure, but then you go to – that doesn't mean that you go get you're strapped down and get electric shocks. And there's got to be a middle ground, right?
Right. I think it really highlights a bigger problem, that there's no good solutions. You know, this is the bigger problem, that they don't –
Well, in the article – yeah, I agree. But in the article it says it works for people and they're happier. That's what it says. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, I guess maybe what? And then it talks about all these like whistleblowers who used to work at that place being like, it's barbaric. It makes everyone, makes a lot of students living under fear the whole time. And they have anxiety issues now because of it. And they shocked this one kid because they took him off his meds and he was going through withdrawal and having behavior, and they just like gave him the max amount of shocks and like a video escape. And it's like, holy cow. And then the school was like, oh, well, we didn't, that was a long time ago, and we've changed and we've changed our procedures, and you know, that was 14 years ago. We don't do it like that anymore, blah, 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 blah. But there's just so many things with the school. It's like, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of parents they interviewed a few parents whose kids are in there and they're happy, you know. But I wonder how much of that is like, I'm 85 years old and I just want to believe that my son's in a better place rather than he is, you know.
I don't know. So. To me, it sounds like our theology. I went to Bible school, but the theology professor used to talk about like a tragic moral choice where there's no good answer. You know, if you have the ability to, if you're Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which was a philosopher during Hitler's time, and he was one of the few religious people that participated in an assassination attempt on Hitler, yeah. which would be murder, which is a sin. And so you do this discussion about, is it a sin to murder somebody who's murdering people? And it's a tragic moral choice. Like, there's people that come down on both sides of it that's what this strikes me as. I mean, if you're every day subjected to violence from your kid, and you're in your 60s or 70s, and your kid's in his 40s or 50s and hurting you, and there's no good options, because the way it's supposed to work in the first paragraph talks about they're not supposed to strap them down. They're sitting there with a little device, and it's a 2-second shock, painful enough to make him rethink his actions. So like if he talks about this one girl who headbutts the wall so hard that the whole building shakes, and they can headbutt so hard they can detach their own retinas, then by it seems like that the shock would be the lesser of two evils. I don't know. It sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's true. And it's true. And they also say that, you know, they're no longer on the medication, which can have a lot of adverse effects, one of which is lethargy and obesity and things like that, you know? They say, on the other hand, you know, that they're no longer on meds as well, you know, which cause lethargy and obesity and a host of problems. And so, okay, they're off the bad meds and they're no longer smashing their head against the wall. And you're like, okay, I guess, I don't know. Is that still a better life though? Constantly like have a dog, or, you know, with a shock collar.
It does run into a shock collar a little bit. You know what also reminds me of? Like, you know, in the NBA, I don't know if you, this used to be maybe 10 years ago, they've stopped doing as much, but when you take a bad shot or do something, they used to wear, what's it called, rubber bands around their wrists. You remember this? And then you just flick yourself one time. You just pull out the rubber band and let it go and snap yourself on the wrist whenever you do something bad. This was like 10, 15 years ago. And it was pretty, the people in the NBA were doing it even. It was pretty hot at the time. It's just like a little reminder of a little stimuli, like, yeah, that was not a good decision or that was not a good pass. That's what it reminds me of too, which obviously a rubber band would be a lot nicer than electric shock.
Yeah, it sounds kind of dumb, but I... I mean, if it's only as bad as a rubber band against your wrist, then I'm okay with that. But I have a feeling it's a lot worse.
It's a lot worse, but the problem is a bad shot is a lot less problematic than somebody hitting their head against the wall until they detach their own retinas. I guess what I'm saying is I'm 100%.
I guess you're not a sports fan.
I guess you don't love basketball as much as you think, you jerk.
Yeah, big liar.
I do think that I'm definitely not judging these parents. If you've done, you know, geez, Louise, you did your best. You don't know what to do.
Me neither. Yeah. I just worry that
it could be abused. It could for sure be abused. That's the worry.
I mean, people abuse old people in old folks' homes.
That's the problem.
And they get in there to help. They get in there because they want to help people, and then they just, you know, power corrupts. You know,
That's the problem. I think
human nature.
Is it would lend itself to abuse, especially when it's unsupervised and you're dealing with somebody who's disabled so they can't speak for themselves eloquently and defend themselves verbally. Yeah. But when it lists the self-injuries that they're trying to avoid, biting one's own tongue off, ripping out chunks of skin. Oh, I don't know, dude. It's a very interesting article, you know. And obviously, of course, you know, they highlight the video that came to light, the one you were talking about where he's strapped down and being shocked. That's terrible. That's terrible.
Oh, it's like crazy.
It's like torture.
It's like something you'd think went on in like the 1930s, you know?
Yeah. It sounds barbaric, to be honest. It sounds like leech letting, where you're like bloodletting with leeches or something. Where you're just trying anything. But I think that's part of the problem. We're at the point where you just try anything. Nobody knows what to do. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be more investment and research and figuring out what the solution is for these severely, severely disabled.
Well, they claim that they did do research and it works. And it's vetted, you know.
And they will sell you on one of these. They sell it on Amazon. It's called the Pavlok, a $199 device. It looks like a Fitbit. And you choose what habit you want to break. The product description says, using an innovative Zaptic hardware. Suggestions include zapping yourself with a mild shock if your inbox reaches 50 emails. Oh, my goodness. I'm at 16,000. Oh, my timer just went off. That means our podcast is done. No, sorry. That means my laundry.
It's a tight ship.
Well, I guess that's it for this week, guys. Sorry, fun time's over. Kirk's alarm went off.
Mm-hmm.
To many, though, this aversion therapy is antiquated as a conversion therapy. Yeah, I don't know, dude. I read one paragraph and I'm like, this is barbaric. And I read the next one and I'm like, what are these people supposed to do? Yeah, the self mutilation too is brutal. Like, what do you? My son had a friend of or a classmate of his in a school who used to sometimes bite other people and sometimes bite himself and. JJ is pretty physical. Like he learned pretty quick. That one time that guy bit his arm, bit JJ's arm, and then it was one time. After that, if you go to bite his arm, he pulls away. He does not like, he does not mess around with that. He'll like hit you right. JJ will open hand, like push your face, like straight arm you right out of the way if you try to bite his arm. But but that kid, he would really, every day somebody get bit, you know?
Yeah.
And often himself, he had a one spot in his left forearm that he really liked to bite himself, which is like, oh, man. And I have another friend. He's an older kid. He's probably 40 now. And he used to headbutt so hard that the left side of his face, he's got this giant lump, like this permanent thing from headbutting. You know, and you try to, like, he starts headbutting, you try to get the helmet on quickly and, what's the solution to these things? I guess the point is we don't have any.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know. We're all trying to figure it out. That's what's crazy about this. I don't know. Do you have a solution?
I got nothing, man. I think, to be honest,
there's
got to
be. Yeah.
I do feel like we're in the dark ages for this stuff. I do feel like people are going to look back 10, 15 years from now and go, you know, not that there'll be a pill that fixes everything, but there'll be some sort of thing that's not, some sort of therapy that's not painful. That, you know, if it was as simple as, do you remember we did an article in the news about 40 episodes ago about shining some sort of light through the eyes that affected the brain to line something up? I don't know if you remember that. Our longtime listeners will remember, but I think there's got to be something that's less painful, less invasive, that's going to provide some relief. Because the self-harm, obviously they're trying to generate some sort of stimulus in themselves, you know, or stop the banging in their head or something. You know, I'm sure there's some logic to them behind what they're doing. Because with JJ, he will hit his head sometimes, and it's usually when he's very frustrated. And I think it just shows we're in the infant stages of this, and there just needs to be a lot more research on solutions.
Yeah. Well, listen to this. So this couple adopted their daughter, Lian, 25, from China at 11 months. At 18 months, Emick says Lian was asked to leave daycare because she was biting and scratching the other children. Doctors eventually diagnosed a schizophrenic affective disorder that caused aggression. Everywhere she was sent, Lian ended up being restrained, including at home, Emick says. When Lian first enrolled at JRC, this is the school we've been talking about, Emick resisted the idea of electric shocks. I thought she'd hate me for it, she says. But in the first 6 months Lian was there, she was restrained 159 times, each for an average of 26 minutes, almost 69 hours total. Today, Lian gets shocked less than once a month and is able to come home for overnight visits. Emmett comes to the center once a week to take her daughter to lunch. And she says, if experts think there might be other options for my daughter, I'd like to hear what those are.
Yeah, I think that's the frustration for people that are actually going through with it. It's always so easy from the outside to criticize and say, you're being barbaric and you should. And then the mom says, I should do what? And then people like me go, I don't know. You should do something. Okay, that's really helpful, Kirk. Thank you. Are you a doctor?
Well, I mean, we didn't come to any conclusions, but there's a new, you know, that's something.
No,
else
but
that's
I think it's important
there,
to
if you're really
exactly.
It's important. Maybe. I mean, we haven't vetted this at all. We don't know if it's better, but you should do your own research. You know, if you're thinking about something like this or if this interested you, it's out there. Some parents like it. It might not be barbaric, and it might be you might be a monster. I don't know. So
you might be a monster.
I don't think the parents are monsters at all. No. I don't. I know. I'm just joking. That was just a pure joke.
Obviously.
Yeah. But yeah, it doesn't sound in that particular case. Doesn't sound barbaric at all.
Yeah, it's
you know?
Very, very, very interesting. You know what, guys? You know, we've got a pretty broad listenership. I bet we have somebody who has some experience with this. If you have tried this with your family or if you're part of a program that's looked into this, we'd love to hear from you. You can Facebook me, Kirk Smith, or Facebook Graham, or oddtasticpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. I bet there's somebody out there, and we will not read your name unless you want us to. But yeah, we'd love to hear some insight from some of you. And if it's just, you don't need to email me, go, that sounds barbaric. I understand. That does sound barbaric. We're looking for somebody who has experience or has tried this yeah, just curious. This is I can't believe it's going on. It does sound super barbaric, but again, not judging the parents. I don't know, man, I don't know what I would do. That's a tough one.
Anyway, that's been Autastic. You can donate. We'd love it if you donate once a week at patreon.com/autastic, patreon.com/autastic, Kirk Smith Comedy, and @GrahamKComedy on all social media stuff. Like us, share us, leave a review if you already haven't. You guys are the best.
Love you guys. You can do it.